Welcome to our Clothed with the Sun daily podcast, our reading and meditation on the gospel of the day. This is Charles Colazzi, and today is Sunday, April the 14th, 2024. It is the third Sunday of Easter, and our reading today is from the gospel according to St. Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way, and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." So this is a repeat of this particular gospel. We heard last week Jesus appearing on Easter night in the upper room in the Gospel according to St. John, and this is another version of that reading, except instead of focusing on Thomas's disbelief, we still have a little bit of a focus on the forgiveness of sins, not quite as much with Jesus telling them whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you hold bound or held bound. And this reading includes the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We had heard that reading. And this comes right after that. They had gone back to Jerusalem. They were leaving to go to Emmaus, but now they went back to see the apostles and tell them, "We have seen the Lord," specifically in the breaking of the bread. There's a lot happening in this reading. I mean, in all the resurrection narratives, there's a lot happening. But in this one in particular, it's merging a lot of different things. First of all, we have proof of Jesus' bodily resurrection. He appears out of nowhere, yet he eats in front of them. He can walk through a wall, yet he can sit down. They can touch him, he can touch them. He's got a glorified body. This is what Jesus has now that he's risen from the dead. He still has holes in his hands and in his feet, but he has a glorified body, just like we are going to have at the end of the age, the end of time, either for our salvation or for our damnation. Our bodies will join us. He tells them, "Do not be afraid." He says, "Peace be with you." That's going to be crucial. But in a way, he is giving them the Great Commission, although he's going to finally give that to them at the end. Go out and preach to all the nations, baptize everyone, preach the good news. In a way, there's a setup for that here because he says, "You are witnesses of these things." And he speaks about how now there will be forgiveness of sins, and they are to preach that forgiveness. We go back and forth between the different types of miracles, and, well, I go back and forth with this myself in my own mind, because people have told me, why do you want to tell all these stories about miracles? You give people false hope. Well, I don't know. Maybe because Jesus did? Because Jesus performed miracles? Because if you read the Gospels, you see miracles. And then he says to his apostles, "You will do even greater things than what I did here on earth." Because he gives his apostles the ability to perform signs and wonders. And he sends them out two by two. And then there's more people going out. He sends out the 72. The early church is a church of miracles. In recent days, recent decades, and it really, I think, has a lot to do with the charismatic movement, It has a lot to do with Pope John Paul as well and all his preaching around the world, plus Marian apparitions. There is this resurgence in the faith in a very charismatic way. And when I say charismatic, I don't simply mean people putting their hands in the air. I don't simply mean people praying in tongues, although some people have that gift. But I mean a church that's meant to be like the early church, in which there are signs and wonders. We are seeing signs and wonders again. We are seeing prayers answered. We're seeing miraculous healings. There's a lot of people with demonic issues, and we're seeing a lot of deliverance from the demonic. So why do I speak of Jesus' miracles and miracles that happen in the church, and specifically deliverance from evil? Because we need to hear this right now, and that's why God's doing it right now. It's happening, and we should talk about it, and it's all throughout the Gospels. This is the church that Jesus established, a church of miracles. Now, Jesus says, you are witnesses of these things. Well, in a general way, the church is a witness of many signs and wonders. The church in the early days saw Jesus rise from the dead. There were 500 witnesses, according to St. Paul. The early church saw so many other miracles done by the apostles and their successors, bishops, priests, and laity. And like I said, we see all these things now. So yes, there's a focus on the bodily miracles. For them, there was a witness. For us, maybe we don't witness as much these things. But then again, maybe it's because we don't pray, a lot of us, that we don't see miracles. Maybe it's because we don't go on retreat and we don't go on pilgrimage and we don't hang out with other believers. Maybe it's because, like I was saying yesterday, the lack of community, we do the bare minimum. We're much more interested in sports and entertainment because that's where we get excited. Disney and amusement parks, because that's where we get our excitement. When in reality, maybe if we gave God a chance, we'd see amazing things. And people don't want to hear about the amazing things because it makes them feel bad because they themselves are not experiencing. But maybe it's their own fault. Now, I don't want to say this to my listeners. Okay, if you haven't seen miracles, it's your fault. Many of us have not witnessed miracles. Many of us have. But here's now where we come to the other side of all this. Jesus says this is about the forgiveness of sins. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. So the other side of us living our faith and being witnesses of miracles is where you and I overcome sin. It's where you and I overcome fear. It's where you and I overcome ignorance. You know, I've witnessed a lot of intellectual conversions. And it's not just specifically about Jesus, although that's the main thing. That's the most important thing. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But you know, it's amazing sometimes just to help people overcome their biases and their prejudices when they learn something new, when they learn things that maybe they weren't hearing in the media or among family members or among people just like them that have very limited access to information. It's funny, we live in an information age. We can get anything on these phones and our computers, and yet so many people don't know what's going on even in the world. About what country is fighting what country, about what the history of this or that is, about what the church actually teaches. How many times do I see in secular newspaper articles or internet articles, oh, the church said this and the church does that, and then you find out, no, that wasn't the case. I think the first time I can ever remember realizing that the media was slanted and not honest was when I started going to the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and they would count. They would have, you know, counters there, and you'd ask, oh, how many people came? 300,000, 400,000, and then you read the local newspaper that said, oh, 3,000 people showed up in Washington for the March for Life. Why would you even report it if the number was that small? People from all over the country, schools and parishes and just dioceses, from all over, especially the Northeast. So there's the intellectual conversion that happens, but there's also the conversion of the will. I always speak of people that do the 12 steps, people that are drinking or doing drugs. They do the 12 steps. They turn their lives over to their higher power. And suddenly now the will is strong. Or is it strong? Or is it just not suffering like it was before? And now the person in question is making better choices because something has been changed. Talking with priests about, just in a general sense, hearing confessions, a lot of times when a priest is ordained, there's this idea of, well, we just got to give people a lot of penance. You know, this sin, this penance. When over time, anybody that does ministry learns to listen better and to realize, oh, this person is struggling with this issue because they have this pain, because they have this deficiency. In the classroom, we see the same thing. There is a pain there. There is a deficiency there. There is an issue in the family. Maybe there's a mommy issue, a daddy issue. There's self-esteem issues. There's rejection issues. There's so many things. And when we can start speaking to that, then we start seeing results. So sometimes, yes, I mean, it's always a case of grace needed. But when people turn their lives over to their higher power in order to overcome an addiction, sometimes it's strength, but sometimes it's just a healing of the heart. And we as Christians can help people to heal. We are witnesses to hearts healing. We are witnesses to people being educated. We are witnesses to forgiveness. When a person genuinely feels remorse for their sins, which is part of the process of conversion, and they genuinely wish to make amends, and the other person who's maybe already been forgiven freely offers them forgiveness quickly and easily, then that can change a heart right there. So much good can be done through mercy. This is what we talked about last Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday. Just how mercy, Jesus said it when he appeared, mercy is the answer. Mercy leads to peace. Mercy leads to conversion of heart and that openness all of a sudden to love and joy and peace of the Holy Spirit. I also had mentioned earlier overcoming our fears. Once again, the grace of God can do this. The grace of God can help us to overcome our fears. I'll tell you one thing that happens with me all the time. It happened today. I had a little miracle today. It happens to me constantly. It happens to me constantly when I'm teaching. For whatever reason, there's the negative voice in my head. And this morning, there was something I was praying about, and the negative voice was in there. Oh, you're not going to be good at this. You're not going to accomplish that. And just praying about it, saying, Lord, is this true? Or how am I supposed to feel about this? Show my heart what you want me to see or hear or feel. And he does. Somebody came up to me today, started telling me all these things that were literally answers to things I was praying about earlier. And when I go to teach, you know, I think, oh, this isn't going to work, and this isn't going to work out, whatever. And the reality is, every day I'm in the classroom. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are kids with issues. There's kids that get in trouble. There's me sometimes not always exactly knowing what to say or how to say it. But there's a constant learning. There's a constant growth. And I see it in the kids too. And we get closer to the goal. There's more insights as we go. And very often, especially when we're asking the Lord for it, very often we see God act. We see conversion of heart. We see the Lord work out something that maybe we wouldn't have thought of otherwise. I don't know if I mentioned this in a podcast, just one student. I mean, there's so many students, but one student a few days ago, just the Lord gave me the words to say to this young person. And I said those words and I could see that it had an effect. And so we need to constantly be in touch with the Lord. This is what we are a witness of. The Lord will continue to take away fear. The Lord will continue to draw us close to him and give us greater insight, give us greater self-esteem, give us greater confidence. The Lord will continue to do these things if we are asking, if we keep coming to the Lord. The Lord will conquer our anxieties. The Lord will conquer our addictions and our sins. We are witnesses to these things. I think about in my own life, my own conversion, and just learning how to pray, learning that prayers get answered, learning that Jesus is there. And then there's just that ongoing peace that just grows more and more and more as I turn to the Lord in prayer. So many people in our world today suffer so much from so much anxiety and doubt and depression and worries. And the Lord is here for us. We are witnesses of these things, and we need to let everybody else know. There is something called supernatural peace. And you can have this if you turn to the Lord. Let's start turning to the Lord more and more. Let's tell the people around us. Our Blessed Mother is called the Queen of Peace. I think that's my favorite title of hers. I also love Our Lady of Sorrows. Of course, I love things like Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Lourdes. But Our Lady, Queen of Peace, she says, I am the Queen of Peace. Pray, 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 pray your rosary. And you will have peace in your heart. You will have peace in your home. If a family prays together, if a country prays together, there will be peace in that country. We are witnesses of these things, and I've seen them over and over again. And so I feel compelled 100% to spend the rest of my life preaching the forgiveness of sins, preaching peace, preaching overcoming bad habits, preaching overcoming anxiety, because Jesus does it. Because Jesus, the more we let him in, the more he accomplishes. Never mind all those bodily things too that happen, which are also very real. And if ever your faith is lacking, if ever you're feeling some doubt, look up the incorruptible saints. Go visit some shrines. Go over to the St. John Newman Shrine if you're in the Philadelphia area. Go to one of the many Padre Pio shrines and find out how many miracles that man, that saint, has performed just recently, because they keep everything recorded. Our Lord is doing it. He's doing it for us. And this is what we were made for, to be his children, to be led by him, to be fed by him. We are witnesses of these things. Let's preach it to the end of the earth. Have a great day. God bless you.